Welcome to the EMSO Talks podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of EMSO Talks. My name is Patrick Esteruelas. I'm the head of global research at EMSO Asset Management, and I have the pleasure of introducing a colleague and an esteemed friend, Brett Rosen, who has recently joined EMSO as our senior economist and strategist for Latin America, and who, like the rest of us, was riveted to his seat Sunday night, looking at the real live updates from Brazil's second round presidential election. Brett, this was one of the, if not the tightest election in Brazil's democratic history. Were you surprised by the outcome?
Well, first off, Patrick, thank you very much for the kind intro. It's a pleasure to be here to discuss the Brazilian election, which took place this past weekend on October 30th. And, you know, in terms of the outcome, I think it's worth going through briefly just what the result was, with former President Lula emerging victorious over current President Bolsonaro. The final margin was very close. It was a little bit less than 2% of a margin for former President Lula, with about a 2 million vote difference in the raw vote count. In Brazil, it's not anything more than just a pure popular vote to determine the victor. In terms of the outcome, it was expected that former President Lula was going to win. He did win the first round by around 5 percentage points. That took place on October 2nd. And pollsters were showing the days before the October 30th vote that he would be more than likely to win by a margin of around 3 to 4 percentage points. Now, there were some pollsters that had it close to even. There were a couple other pollsters that saw the margin around 5, 6, even 7%. But for the most part, the average showed again around a 3.5 to 4% difference. So that 2%, or a little bit shy of 2%, was somewhat closer than the average of pollsters. But on the other hand, it was within the margin of error of what the pollsters were forecasting. And it does show that the country is highly polarized in terms of number of states won. Bolsonaro won one more state than Lula. It was very divided on a regional basis. And it shows a country that is really split right down the middle, which is something that will be have some relevance when former President Lula becomes President Lula on January 1st of 2023.
Well, it's certainly going to be an exciting few months and years. Now, President Bolsonaro has throughout the race indicated that the election may not necessarily be a fair and transparent one, that it's not a level playing field, that the Supreme Court and Electoral Courts have outreached themselves. Are we looking at a potential, January 6th, the raiding of the Capitol Hill moment, here in Brasilia, or are we going to be seeing a much smoother democratic transition in Brazil?
I don't think that we're looking necessarily at a January 6th moment. There had been a lot of concerns in the past weeks and even months off of some of the controversial comments that President Bolsonaro had made with regards to certain institutions into the country regarding the transparency of the electoral process and so on. But if we look at what happened on Sunday night, the vote count occurred very quickly and very efficiently. And the Electoral Institute in Brazil has essentially recognized former President Lula to be the victor. And a lot of important politicians within Brazil, including the Speaker of the House, came out very quickly to recognize the electoral result. I'd also mention that a number of world leaders on Sunday night also congratulated former President Lula. I keep saying President Lula because he was president in Brazil from 2003 to 2011. This will be his third term in office, and he would be the first individual in Brazil to serve a third term. In terms of President Bolsonaro, he has been quiet. And so even up till now, we have not heard a statement from him. It's expected that he could make a statement as soon as today, November 1st. But as we sit right now, he's been quiet. It looks like some of his allies and even members of the military are encouraging him to make a statement to recognize the result. It's unlikely he will directly congratulate former President Lula, but we'll be looking to see if he recognizes the result. We have seen some turbulence in Brazil around truckers blocking a number of major highways and thoroughfares throughout the country. Somewhere around 23 of the Brazilian states have these blockades occurring. Truckers do have the ability in Brazil to create an economic problem. Truckers are responsible for the transport of many, if not the majority, of goods throughout the country due to the fact that the rail system is not quite as developed in other parts of the world. So if you go back to 2018, actually a trucker strike really brought Brazil down to its knees for a period of time. The Supreme Court has essentially put down a dictate allowing these blockades to be opened up. Large fines can be placed on truckers that are blocking these roads. So we'll monitor this in the hours and days to come to see if it subsides or becomes more widespread.
Well, that's good to know. Let's hope that it stays that way. Now, looking forward to some of the challenges that Lula is going to be facing as a president. He's going to be inheriting something of a hot potato, right? A divided country, a population that distrusts the establishment, a Congress where center-right forces made significant progress and where he will, struggle to, cobble together lasting strong majorities. And of course, an external environment, that is challenged by a tighter monetary policy, high inflation, stagflationary concerns. How do you think Lula is going to respond to these challenges? And what lessons, if any, do you think we can draw from his first two terms as president?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway here is that we expect to see a relatively pragmatic administration. And I just have to go back to the fact that the vote was so close. It was a 51-49 result. And if you look at prior elections, when Lula was elected, for example, in 2006, the margin was much more significant. His party had a greater representation in Congress than it does now. So his PT party did not perform all that well in the congressional elections. And I think it's important to point out that Bolsonaro's party and or his allies, I should also say, performed quite well in the congressional elections. And the three largest states in Brazil will be governed by individuals that were allied with Bolsonaro. So Lula does not have the same broad base of support that he did the last time that he was president. I think we should also point out that, if you look at kind of the overall mood within the country and within much of Latin America, there is a distrust of the establishment. There's a distrust of politicians. And so even though we come in with the new government, it's quite possible to see a short honeymoon period for President Lula, and then that would subside after several months period of time. So it's going to be a challenging environment for him to be governing. Economic activity is likely to slow in 2023 vis-a-vis 2022. Economic growth is actually a surprise to the upside in 2022, but we look for 2023 growth to be close to maybe 0.5% or maybe 1%. So he faces a much more perhaps a challenging backdrop when you consider during his first two terms between 2003 and 2011, Brazil was benefiting from a very favorable external environment. China had just come into the WTO. And so Brazil was very much exploiting the commodities boom. Exports to China were booming during that period. The overall global economic environment was, at least for the first term, was in a pretty good status compared to now, when we see global economies again throughout the world decelerating, monetary policy tightening, and so on. So the external environment was much more favorable for Brazil during his first two terms in office than it is likely to be in his upcoming term. Again, that starts in January of 2023.
So all in all, it looks like it's going to be a very different third term for Lula, than what he was used to during his first two terms. Let's hope he rises to the challenge. Switching gears for a second and looking at Brazil's central bank, they were the first and most aggressive in hiking rates, dating all the way back to March of 2021, which seems like an ice age ago now. Today, you know, Brazil's, you know, ex ante real rates are amongst the highest in the investable universe. What do you think the Brazilian Central Bank is going to be looking for in this third-term Lula government as they, you know, calibrate whether and when to cut rates?
Well, the first thing they're going to look at is the fiscal stance of the administration. And the central bank has been very clear about fiscal risks in Brazil. They almost insert a comment about fiscal policy into all of their communications. We're looking for the government to ask for a waiver for the spending cap in 2023. We're looking for a continuation of the transfer payments and social programs that were increased by the current Bolsonaro administration over the last months ahead of the presidential election, namely one particular transfer payment increased transfers from 400 to 600 reais per month and added around 1.5 million families to receive that benefit. Lula's been pretty clear that he's going to continue with that particular policy. So the first thing is really the fiscal side of things. Former President Lula is likely to be somewhat expansionary on fiscal, but we don't think overly so. Then, of course, they'll be looking at inflation expectations. And if you look at recent market surveys, they're showing inflation coming down in 2023 to around 4.9% and then 2024 to 3.5%. That was in the Focus survey that the central bank releases every Monday, where they survey market economists on their expectations. If you look at the central bank's own forecast, which came out last week, they see a little bit lower. They see 4.8% for 2023, 2.9% for 2024, and the official target is 3% for 2024. So we'll be looking to see how these expectations evolve as the administration takes office and if there is any cause and effect between these fiscal decisions and inflation expectations. But the broader picture here is that we're seeing Brazil disinflating. We're seeing inflation going in the right direction. There's still a ways to go to get inflation closer to the target, to have, you know, kind of nearer term expectations come down a little bit more. But we do think that the central bank will start to cut rates in the first half of 2023. They've said that they want to stay at the current policy stance for what they say is a prolonged period of time. What prolonged means, of course, we'll have to see. But when we look at Brazil and a policy rate of 13.75% with inflation converging, hopefully towards the levels that we mentioned, we think that they can cut quite aggressively as we enter the second half of 2023.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the most interesting features, I think, about Brazil, particularly during this election year, is just how well Brazilian assets have done. Rates, as you mentioned, I mean, have been outperforming, in a context, I mean, where, you know, core rates, I mean, have moved dramatically higher as the market, has been, you know, calibrating a change of gears, I mean, from the Fed and other G10 central banks all through this year. The Brazilian real, you know, also has been a noted outperformer, in a year that has been characterized by a strong dollar. And even Brazilian equities, right? I mean, are up in the year. When typically you see, a lot of electoral risk premium building into, you know, an actual election event. So with all that said, and given the outperformance so far, what do you like most in Brazil?
Well, we think there's opportunity both in rates and in the currency. And kind of turning back to the prior question, you know, the current rate is at 13.75%. And if we look at the terminal rate that markets are priced in, which would be the rate that's being priced in at which point the central bank would stop cutting, it's at around 10.25% towards the end of 2023, earlier part of 2024. So if we just use that 10.25% number, and then you go back to the inflation expectation number that I cited earlier, that gives you an ex ante real rate of somewhere in the neighborhood of 7%, which is very high. And if you consider that the neutral real rate in Brazil is estimated to be somewhere between, let's say, 4%, maybe 4.5%. This is a number that's not measurable, but it's estimated. It's a very restrictive policy stance, even after cutting 350 basis points. And so we think that there is opportunity in the rates market just by virtue of the fact that we believe that the central bank can cut more aggressively than the market is pricing in. And in the past, they have shown the propensity to cut quite aggressively. If you look at previous cycles, they have cut more than this 300 basis points at different times. On the currency, we also think there's an opportunity there as well. If you consider, again, a few factors, one, the carry with this 13.75% rate that I mentioned is very high. Two, we've seen foreign direct investment very strong in Brazil in 2022 at around 75 billion year to date. That's a significant number. And all signs are also pointing to the possibility of ESG flows coming back into Brazil when Lula takes over in 2023. There were certain investors, global investors, that had been also waiting on the sidelines for the electoral risk to pass. And so as you get the election in the rearview mirror, you get the definition of perhaps a moderate name to lead the economy. You could very well see this combination of some ESG flows, perhaps from abroad, at the same time as some international investors have been waiting to deploy capital into Brazil, now committing funds to the local market. And the other point I would add as well is that the valuation of the currency at its current levels looks attractive to us based on our own estimations. And I would finally say that even though equities have had a decent performance of late, by many valuation measures, they do look attractively valued. So there's a number of different arguments here that should support, in our view, the currency in the weeks and months ahead.
Thank you very much, Brett, for keeping us so well informed and up to date on Brazil. And trying to give us some visibility on what to expect going forward. Thank you as well to all of our listeners, as always, for tuning in to another episode of EMSO Talks. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to our wonderful investor relations team.